The topic I was asked to address is Bayis Neman B'Yisrael, the Jewish home, is the center for transmitting the Mesorah. All of us, most of us, hopefully all of us, send our children or intend to send our children, our grandchildren, and so on and so forth, to yeshiva day schools, and yeshiva high schools, and yeshiva programs in Eretz Yisrael, and so on. And we want to have the yeshiva environment, the day school environment, the high school environment, impact our children as it should. And certainly my intention here is not to belittle or somehow... denigrate that decision. It's a decision we all have to make, and it's something we all should make. However, sometimes I think people make a mistake, or unconsciously make a mistake, and they sort of almost abdicate the role and the responsibility of chinuch to the yeshivas, to the rebbeim. We want our children to have wonderful rebbeim and wonderful moros and wonderful teachers and so on that should influence them properly. It's 100% true. However, that does not exempt us as parents, grandparents, as people influencing, perhaps siblings, whatever it is, what's going on in our home, which has to remain a major piece of chinuch, and that's what I'd like to speak about here. Those who hear me speak, I like to usually connect things to the Parshas HaShavuos. And yesterday's laning, we find in Parshas Balos, on the first source, Bemidbar Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud, Vayishma Moshe Sa'am Bochel HaMishpachosov, Ishlefes Aholo, Vayichaf Hashem Me'od, Vayinei Moshe Ra. The Jewish people were complaining. Everybody started to cry and kvetch and complain. LeMishpachosov, they were complaining by family. What does that add? What does the word LeMishpachosov add? They were crying, they were complaining. So the many Mefarshim, Rav Shem Shofar Hirsch, on that Pasuk in source number 2 says that it wasn't an open rebellion. People didn't rally and protest in the streets, right? They didn't go out to the square or something like that and protest there. Rather, everybody stayed home. They all stayed in their own tents, their own homes, but they stood near the front and they started to wail, and one person influenced the other and so on. You see from this comment of Bisham Shofar Hirsch, because it's unlikely that the little children understood what are they complaining about. So they don't even know what's going on. However, you see the parents kvetching, the parents complaining, and the children complain and kvetch as well. So here's an example of the influence that the family and the home can have in the negative sense. However, of course, the goal is that the home should be an influence in the positive sense. There's a fascinating pasuk in Parshas Vayera in the third source, Bereishis Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Tes. Many of us wonder why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Avraham Avinu to be the, you know, the first Jew, so to speak, to found the people that's going to be the people who receive the Torah and so on. What did Avraham Avinu do? We know nothing really about the early life of Avraham Avinu. We meet him in the Torah when he's 75 and Hashem tells him Lech Lecha to leave, you know, his birthplace and go someplace else. So we had Midrashim, you know, when he was younger, he broke the idols in his father's shop and so on and so forth. But we don't have anything explicit in the Torah, so we're entitled to wonder what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Avram that made him choose him. So the answer is the Torah itself tells us. In Parshas Vayera, in that Pasuk, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Tes, Bereishis, Ki Yidaitiv Laman Asher Yitzaveh Es Bonov, Ves Beiso Achrov, Veshomru Derech Hashem Lasso Stoko, Mishpat Laman Havi Hashem Al Avram, Eis Asher Diber Olav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know about Avram, he's the type of person who's going to command and influence his children and his household. V'shamru derech Hashem la'asos tako mishpat. That's what it's about. Hashem chose Avram, says the pasuk, because he knows that Avram is going to transmit his values, v'shamru derech Hashem la'asos tako mishpat, to his children and to his household after him. So you see that that's a very basic idea. If this is what Avram was chosen, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he loves Avram so much. So Meshech Chochmah, Meir Simcha of Divinsk, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in his commentary, Meshech Chochmah, that pasuk makes a fascinating statement. And he tells us that that pasuk is in fact the mukkar, the source in Chumash, for the concept of chinuch. That's where chinuch, where does chinuch come from? I'll say it outside, but you can read it inside and keep these sheets. Where does the mitzvah chinuch come from in the Torah? There's no pasuk that tells us about a mitzvah called. We talk about chinuch all the time. Where does the pasuk and where in the Chumash we find anything about chinuch? So some people might think, v'shinantem levanecha, v'limaratem osamis b'neichem l'daber b'am. That's true, but the Meshech Chochmah points out, technically that's Talmud Torah. That's not chinuch. Chinuch is broader than Talmud Torah. Where do you find the pasuk about chinuch? So he also notes, we'll see the pasuk later, pasuk in Mishlei, Chanoch l'nar pi darko, that speaks about chinuch. However, that too, it's a pasuk in Ksuvim. It's not exactly in the Torah. It's in the Tanakh, but it's not in the Torah. So the Meshech Chochmah says, you know where chinuch comes from? Right here. This is where chinuch comes from. This pasuk right here. V'chan mash, and by the way, he adds at the end, v'chan mash, sha'af lebonos mitzvah. Daughters also, it's the whole household, it's sons, daughters. This is not bound by the restrictions of things relating to Talmud Torah and so on. So the Meshech Chochmah says this pasuk is the makor for chinuch. So we see that what is chinuch really all about? It's in the home. It's the parents transmitting the values to the children, like Avraham Avinu. Now, in terms of chinuch, there are technical requirements in terms of chinuch and mitzvah. So the Mishnah tells us in Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis and Aleph in Source 5, the Mishnah says, Kotnei, Odei Lananea, Chayav B'Lulav. A child is old enough to know how to wave the lulav, so he's obligated in the midst of lulav. You skip down for a second to 7, Rashi there in Sukkah, Mem Beis and Aleph says, what do you mean Chayav B'Lulav? The kid's 7 years old, he's not Chayav in anything, he's under bar mitzvah. How can you say Chayav? So Rashi says, no, Lechancho Medivarim, the Rabbanan, we're Mechayav the parents to educate him. So mitzvah chinuch, and technical kids old enough to know how to do a mitzvah, so you should get him a lulav. And the Gemara, and that's the Mishnah, the Gemara there in number 6 elaborates, Tana Rabbanan, this is Sukkah, Membez, and Alf, Tana Rabbanan, Kotnei Odeil and Aneya, Chai B'lulav. He knows how to shake a lulav, he should get him a lulav. Lisatev Chai B'tzitz, he knows how to put on tzitzis, he get him tzitzis. Lishmor Tfilin, to wear Tfilin properly, Avilokeach Tfilin. Yodeil Adabe, he learns how to speak. Avilomdo Torah Kriyashma, you teach him Torah and Kriyashma. What does Torah mean? Torah Mahi, Amar Bamnuna. Torah Tzivalana Moshe Amar Shekilas Yaakov. That's one of the first songs the kids learn. The Gemara says that. That they should teach him this Pasuk, Torah Tzivalana Moshe Amar Shekilas Yaakov. Kriyashma Mahi, Pasuk Rishon. Child learns how to speak, you teach him how to say Shema before he goes to sleep. So you see that there is a technical requirement in terms of the mitzvah of chinuch. What age? It doesn't say in the Gemara what age, because it depends on the child. It depends on the mitzvah. Sometimes certain mitzvahs kids can do at a younger age. You have to know the child, you have to know the mitzvah. But again, that's a technical obligation. And that's the mitzvah of chinuch. The pasuk says in Mishlei Parakov Beis Pasuk Vav and Source 8, Chanoch and Arpi Darko Gam Ki Yazkin Loyosu Mimenu. That's the technical pasuk of chinuch. Again, the Meshech Chochma that we read before in Source 4 and Parshas Vayera pointed out that's a pasuk in Ksuvim. It's not in the Torah, but still, it's part of our Tanakh. So it's an important pasuk that you have to train a child in accordance with his ability. That way, when he gets older, he'll be accustomed to doing the mitzvah. And training the child means to train him properly. There's an earlier Gemara in Sukkah Daf Beis and Beis, which speaks about a woman called Helene Hamalka, who had many children, 7 children, and she had a sukkah, and the Gemara said her sukkah was very high. So they wanted to bring a proof that it's okay to have a sukkah so high. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Maybe it wasn't a kosher sukkah. Women are potter from sukkah. She was just doing it by way of symbolism or whatever, some kind of nostalgia. The Gemara said, no, everything she did was al-pi chachomim. Kol ma'aseh lo osaso el al-pi chachomim. And the Ritva explains over there in this chidushim to sukkah, beis and beis, in source number 10, the Ritva says, you see from here that when you train a child in a mitzvah, you have to train him to do it right. You can't give him you shouldn't give him a posel lulav. It doesn't have to be the most mehudadika lulav. It doesn't have to be the most expensive lulav in Esek, but it shouldn't be the child of a certain age. When it's a little kid, it doesn't know what's going on anyway, so you want him to walk around with the Hoshana, he's got a paper mache lulav and a ping pong ball that's painted yellow or something like that. Okay, that's when the kid's very little. When the kid's old enough to understand that you want to get him a lulav in Esek, you should get him a proper lulav in Esek. Again, it doesn't have to be, from the $85 table. It can be from the cheaper table also. But you have to do the mitzvah properly. A pair of tzitzis should be a kosher pair of tzitzis, not something with 2 strings hanging down. That's what the Ritva says. You see from this Gemara that you have to teach him the mitzvah in the proper way. So that's in terms of mitzvahs asay. We see from that Gemara that there's a mitzvah chinuch, that the parents in the household have to train the children to do mitzvahs and to do them properly. On the flip side, the Gemara says, Nivomis daf kuf yud dadam al alaf in source 11, kot nochel nevelos, ein bezim mitzvah la frisho. If a child is doing an avera, the particular example the Gemara gives, a child's eating tray food. You see the kid eating tray food someplace. So are other people obligated to get involved? Is the Bezdin, should the rabbi, should other people mix in? So it's a whole discussion. At one point, the Gemara says it's not Bezdin's job, but the Rambam tells us in Source 12, Hilchos Macholos Asuras, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Chav Zayin, Cotton Shochel Echer Macholos Asuras. A kid eats forbidden food. Oh, Shosam Alacha B'Shabbos. Oh, he was doing something he shouldn't do on Shabbos. Ain Bezdin Mitsuvanov official of Ishaino Bendas. The Bezdin, the rabbi, the people in the community don't have to mix in. The kid doesn't know what he's doing. He's a little kid, doesn't know anything. That's if he did it by himself. But I can't give the... If the kid ate a piece of treif meat that he found somewhere, some candy that he found somewhere, then I don't have to interrupt. I don't have to interfere. However, I can't give him. That you can't do. You can't give the child to eat non-kosher. You can't tell the child to go violate Shabbos. That you can't do. Okay? And then, the more important for us right now, in Source 12, is Halacha Chav Chesen, that Rambam, Hilchos Macholos, Asuras Perek Yud Zayin, Af Al Pi, She'ein Bezin Mitzuvin Lahafrishas HaKotten, but Mitzvah Al Aviv Ligarbo, the parents, the Bezin doesn't have to mix in, but the parents should tell the child, again, at the appropriate age, in the appropriate way, this is not right, you're not supposed to do this, not what we do. Okay, Mitzvah Al Aviv Ligarbo, Ulahafrisho Kedei Lechan Chobekdusha, She'nemar, Chanochel Arpi Darko, the Rambam quotes that Pasuk in Mishlei, Chanochel Arpi Darko, you see that that's the parents obligated, the rabbi, the bezin, none of their business, the next door neighbors, but the parents have to mix in. And the Ritva, Anat Sugin Yevamis, in his Chidushim Kuf Yudam Al Alf, in Source 13, the Ritva writes, our Rambam's Al Kosav, Shimigil Echinach Chayav Aviv Lafrisho, the parents have to, again, if the kid's half a year old or whatever, he's doing something, but when once the kid, the parents know the kid better than anybody else. Once the child is old enough, the parents have to tell him this is right, this is wrong. And the Ritva says the Rambam is right. We have a whole Gemara. You have to buy him a lulav and buy him tzitzis. That you have to tell him, well, you can eat non-kosher, you can violate Shabbos, certainly not. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch rules as well. And Hilchos Shabbos happens to be in Siman Shin Mem Gimel Sif Aleph, that if a child eats Nevelus, and the Mishabur adds, in 15, the Mishabur Sukkot Aleph writes, who didn't call Shari Surim, the Nevelus was the example the Gemara happened to give. He was eating non kosher. That doesn't mean it's limited to that case. It means it, and the Mishabur writes, who didn't call Shari Surim, Achein Chilos Shabbos, and so on. So in all these things, it's the Bezin does not have to interfere, but, Aval Aviv, says the Mechaber, Mitzah Ligo Balafisha Misur Deraisol, Achilo Be'adayim, also certainly. V'chein also Lahargilo, B'chilo Shabbos Umoid. You can't let him violate Shabbos Umoid. Afilo Dvarim Shem Mishum Shavuos, even if it's only Drabbanon. Even if it's not a biblical violation, it's only a Nisa Drabbanon. You're still not allowed to, let the child do. You have to, again, have to know what age. He goes on to say it's a Chinuch, a Katan Shigil, a Chinuch, and so on. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah in 15 in Sivkot and Beis of Siman Shin Mem Gimel writes, "Afil lechanech bonav uvnosov." He mentioned again sons and daughters. This mitzvah chinuch is on sons and daughters. Okay, hutal lechanech bonav uvnosov of mitzvahs hutal od k'nisiv chanuch harpi darko v'kosher kein lafrishim isur. Certainly not to let them violate any isurim. Now. So that's the overall picture, that it's the job of the parents, it's the job of the household to be a place where children are trained to observe mitzvahs and to avoid averis. The Gemara in Bava Batra on Daf Chof Aleph Mid Aleph, a fascinating Gemara, speaks about a gentleman by the name of Yeshua ben Gamlo. It says, Domer Behuda Amarav, Baram Zohar Oso Yishlo Tov, Yeshua ben Gamlo Shamo. We may never have heard of him, but the Gemara says there's this great person, Yeshua ben Gamlo. We know why he's great, Shilmolehu Nishtakach Torah Yisrael. It's a strong statement. If not for him, the whole Torah would have been forgotten. Wow. That's what he said. The whole Torah would have been forgotten. So what did he do? So again, we'll say outside to save a few minutes, but he said at the beginning, people had parents. The parents would teach, the father would teach the child Torah. Okay, what if a child didn't have parents, an orphan or whatever, so there was nobody to teach him Torah? So he didn't learn. So I never learned at all. So he tried to set the system, basically. He set up the first public school system. That's what the Gemara says. He set up a system where all the children were brought to school and so on, and that preserved Torah. So that's a tremendous thing. However, you see, the original practice was that the father taught him, the parents taught him. This is only b'di'evad. He started this, you know, in the world of education. I have a joke. Why did Yeshua ben Gamlo start with orphans? Why did he set up a school system dafka for orphans? The answer is he didn't want to have to deal with the parents, you know, on the board. Like, they, you know, with orphans, no parents to complain. But the issue is it was a backup. It was Plan B. Plan A was that the parents should hear. It wasn't working. There was a problem. Parents weren't educating their children. Perhaps they had no parents. So now Yeshua ben Gamlo did what he did. On the very back page, I printed, and it's kedai to read when you have the time, of Aaron Lichtenstein's Zechut Zarach Levracha, or my Rebbeim. I had an essay called "On Raising Children," so I just excerpted a few things in number two. He says he once heard from Rav Hutner, Zichron Levracha, who was one of his Rebbeim, Rosh Hashiva Chaim Berlin. Rav Hutner said everybody thinks that that's a wonderful thing that Yeshua ben Gamlo did. The Gemara says a wonderful thing, he preserved Torah. But he said, that's not really the way it's supposed to be. He said to the Rav Hutner, said it was a sad day. The ideal is, he said at the end of that, the second unit there, the ideal is to follow the literal meaning of the verse. You shall teach them to your children. The real mitzvah is to teach your children. The parents should teach the children. That's the real mitzvah. Yeshua ben Gamlo came up with Plan B. Okay, it was a good plan. It was necessary at the time, but that's not really the ideal. The ideal is that the principal chinuch and the principal training comes in the home, comes from the parents, comes in the household. But what's interesting, if you go back to the front, that Sugin Bava Basra mentions that one of the places where he had these yeshivas was in Yerushalayim. Kimitzion Teitze Soro Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. So you take a look in Source 18, Tosis there in Bava Basra, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph makes a very interesting comment. He said, why did they have to set up the yeshivas in Yerushalayim? Could have set up the yeshivas in the local towns, which eventually they did. But why Yerushalayim? So Tosis says in 18, Lefisha Heroa, Kedusha Gedola. When you came to Yerushalayim, you saw sanctity. Kohanim Oskim Avoda, and you see the Kohanim and so on, and Haya Mechavin Libo Yosel Yerushalayim Velimot Torah. Okay, he said the environment would be inspirational. Now, if that was the case, then one could argue, I think cogently, that the same thing should be true in the household, the environment. It's not just teaching in particulars about this mitzvah, you should wear tzitzis, you should wear a lulav, you shouldn't eat this, that's all true. But you see that the Gemara says, the Tosfos are explaining that Yeshua ben Gamlo felt it was not just what you actually learn, but the environment that's present is also going to have a tremendous impact. And in fact, he says, Tosfos says, this is for another discussion, but Tosfos says, that's why there's a mitzvah the Jews have to come to Yerushalayim from time to time, even to not only the Shalosh Regalim, but they have to bring Ma'aser Sheni, certain tithes, certain fruits, and so on, to Yerushalayim. Why have to come to Yerushalayim for? The answer is you want people coming to a place where you can sense the Kedusha. And that's also a very, very important piece of chinuch. Again, looking back in the back page with Aaron Lichtenstein, he mentions that the chinuch has much from the first of the sources there. It says, I put these sources in the order of the article, even though it didn't fit my order here. But the Lichtenstein writes that chinuch has much more to do than with technicality, right? Chinuch has to do with the molding of the identity and personality of the child, which also breaks down into two aspects. One aspect of development is certain spiritual strengths, powers, skills, abilities, and so on. But in the second paragraph, the second, the idea of relating to people, relating to the world at large. Chinuch is the development of a personality. It's not just technical training. And that's why, getting back to the Tosfos and Bava Basra, it was important to have the yeshivas, or the place where the kid's going to learn, be places in a place or where the atmosphere, where the environment was filled with Kedusha, and that was also going to be a positive. It wasn't just the exact technical learning. In source 19, the Pasuk in Mishnah, another Pasuk in Mishnah, in Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches, says, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titosh Torah Simecha, famous Pasuk. And so Rashi explains what's the difference in Musar Avicha and Torah Simecha. So Rashi says, one is Torah Shemichsav, one is Torah Shemal Peh. But the Ibn Ezra says, it's more, Ibn Ezra says in the 21, Musar Avicha says, Torah Simecha ki isha chachoma mora haderech v'hayishar livna. Sometimes the women have greater insight in molding what is the right path. Meaning it's not just, you know, technical instruction. It's also giving people directions, giving the children directions. So that's why it mentions both Avicha and Imecha. Sometimes the father has certain strength, the mother has other strength. Together, that's what I mean by the household. The house, that's the bias name of Esau. The house has to be a place where both are presented. It's not just technical training, but it's also the Derech HaYishar. If you look in Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not on the sheet, but Rabbeinu Yonah there in Mishlei, I have it here, but we're tight on time a little bit. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, because when a child is younger, his seichel isn't developed. I don't know exactly what age it does, but when a child's seichel is not really developed, he needs the parents, as Rabbeinu Yonah, to instruct him. And that's the idea of the mitzvah chinuch. There's a very interesting comment from Shemshofar Hirsch in the beginning of the Torah, in Parshas Bereishis. Excuse me, source number 22. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man, B'tzelem Elokim, and so on and so forth, and he gave him the bracha, pru'urvu, right? Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pesukim, Chav Zayin, and Chav Ches. So in Pesukim, what's the pru'urvu? Pru means to multiply, to be fruitful. So what's the double language? Think about it so much. What's the double language, pru'urvu? Be fruitful and multiply. It seems to be saying the same thing, more or less. You have children. So the Shemshofar Hirsch, on that Pesukim, Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pesukim, Ches, revu, he says from the word lisrabos, okay? And it's not just a matter of number. It's not quantity, but it's quality as well. Not just to have so many children, but you also have to make them sort of multiply in terms of their abilities, in terms of what they do and how they behave. He says, in fact, the word revu, he says, is perhaps related to the word aiming, like a rovek kashos, to aim an arrow. In a bow and arrow, you have to aim. Rovahi rovek kashos, one who fires or shoots an arrow, he has to aim. Yes, then he said, in fact, the very title rav or rebbe may come from the same root. It's someone who aims somebody, who points somebody in a certain direction. That's, he says, pru'urvu. Pru'urvu doesn't just mean to have children. You know? Yeah, we have to populate the world. That's true, too. But it's not just a matter of populating the world. It's training children, aiming the children, directing them in a certain way. That's what the Rav Shmuel Hirsch says, is indicated by the word revu. Now, of course, a basic pasuk, at least in terms of Talmud Torah, is v'shinantam lo'enecha v'dibar tabam. That's in Kriya Shema, of course, in Dvarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin. So the Zohar, I don't often quote the Zohar, but there's a Zohar here in Parshas Vashanan who says, in source number 25, that the two halves of the Pasuk go together. V'shinantam levanecha, you teach your children where? B'shivtecho ve'secha, how you sit in your house, how you behave in the house. U'v'lechtecho v'aderech, how you go, how you walk. That itself is teaching the children. In other words, the household has to be an example. The people in the household have to be an example. V'shinantam levanecha is not only when I'm sitting with a Gemara or a Shulchan Aruch or a Chumash and going over Parsha or discussing what the child learned in school and so on. No. V'shinantam levanecha, how do you teach the children? V'shivtecho ve'secha, about how you behave, how you act when you sit in the house. Because the house has to be an influence. What do the parents discuss? What's going on in the house? Are you consistent with your messages? What do the kids see the parents doing? That's also part of chinuch. That's, I think, what the Zohar says. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Beis Mishnah Ches, in source 26, enumerates all the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and each one had his own praise. One of the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was of Elezeb and Horkness, and the other ones of Yeshua. Those are the first two mentioned. And what does it say about Rabbi Yeshua at the very end? Rabbi Yeshua Ashrei Yoladeto. Fortunate or wonderful is the person who gave birth to him. What's that referring to? So the Bartanura And the other commentaries there in Pirkei Avos in Parak Beis Mishneh Ches say Ashrei Olarito. Some say because he had wonderful midos, but it wasn't Stam he had wonderful midos. It says it's really based on Yerushalmi in Yevamos. Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph. It says that the Halacha Vav. I mean, the Yerushalmi notes that when he was a little baby, Yeshua had the mother had him in a stroller, and she would walk in the stroller, in a wagon, a carriage, by the Beis Medrash. She should hear Divrei Torah. Didn't understand the word. He's a baby, an infant. But she, from the time he was a little baby, always had Yeshua in the environment, the environs of the Beis Medrash. Look at the end of the 27. It says, "Umiyom shenoad lo hotzia arsosomi beis hamedrash kedei shlo yikonsu ba'aznav ela divrei Torah." That's what the Bar Tanur says again. It's based on this Yerushalmi and Yevamos in 28. Shahaisa imam olechas arisos lo beis haknesim shoshis dabku aznav divrei Torah. From the time he's an infant, even though he doesn't know what's going on, but that's the environment that he becomes familiar with and he becomes comfortable. And that's not necessarily that everybody could do that. But the truth of the matter is we find such a mitzvah in the Torah also. You look in Source 29, the mitzvah of Hakel, which is every 7 years on the Sukkot after the Shemitah year. So it says in the Torah, you have to, in Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Parshvayel, Pesukim, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel, you have to assemble all of the people, men, women, children, babies, everybody has to come to Yerushalayim to hear the Melech read. The king would read certain passages from Chumash Dvarim. And the men would learn, the women would hear, what are the babies there for? They didn't understand anything anyway, just making noise. No, but they were in the environment where they saw what their parents value. They saw, they didn't understand, little kids didn't understand what's going on. Nonetheless, the Pasuk itself says in 29, Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Perek Lamed Aleph Dvarim, Uvneim asher lo yadu, yishmu v'lamdu, Yiras Hashem Elokeichem. They'll learn from that experience, Yiras Shamayim. That'll be something that's implanted in their memory. That'll be something which is they'll remember. They didn't understand what the king was saying. They didn't understand the whole thing. But they understand that this is something of value, going to learn and hearing the Melech read Torah. That's something of tremendous value. That's how the Ramban explains. But even the little babies would do it. In fact, the Aruch Chaim Kadosh, on that pasuk, he says, even the children shall not give lechinuch. Doesn't matter how old the kids are, you give them these bases. Brother Rabban, the Aruch Chaim, again, we don't have time to read everything inside. But you see that the environment that exists in the household, what the child experiences, even from a very, very young age, that's going to impact him. Now, of course, as the child gets older, so you have to be very, very careful what you do in the house. You know, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Chaf Aleph, Matzreif Lakesef Vekur Lazov, Ish Lefi Mahalalo. You measure gold, this is over this way, you measure gold that way. How do you measure people, how do you measure a human being? Ish Lefi Mahalalo. Perek Chav Zayin, Mishlei, pasuk Chaf Aleph. So Rashi explains, what does it mean? You see how people praise him. What do people say about him, right? That people say that this person does this, that, and the next thing, that's how you can measure a person. Rashi says, B'maisav HaTovim. Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yona also there, Mishlei says differently. It sounds like, no, not Ish Lefimala, not how people praise him, but what does he praise? What does he value? That's how you can measure a person, not how others praise him. What does he value? Who does he look up to? Or he or she, I'm saying, it's the same thing. Okay, and that's a tremendous point in Chinuch. What does a child hear? Who does a child hear the parents praising? Who does a child hear the parents insulting? What does a child hear the parents saying in the household? Okay, if the parents every Shabbos at lunch talk about what a fool the rabbi is, he doesn't give good drushes, and he speaks about sin. So then the child grows up thinking the rabbi is a fool, okay, and probably not just this rabbi, but every other rabbi is also a fool. Okay, if the parents are constantly complaining to the table how much you have to pay for yeshiva tuition, so then the child grows up, so what do I need this for? Right, they say from Moshe Feinstein, that he used to kvetch, it was an old Yiddish expression, a shver zu sein Yid, but it's hard to be a Jew. And so many people used to say the Shver Tzu Zayin Yitz. You had a whole generation, Moshe Zichron Baruch said, growing up here, it's so hard to be a Jew, so what do I want to be a Jew for? On the contrary, the children should hear how wonderful it is to be a Jew. The parents should, children should see how delighted the parents are. It doesn't mean everything's perfect, but the child should see in the household that how wonderful it is. Oh, we're so proud. I know my wife, for many years, still does. After she sets the Seder table with all the beautiful dishes and so on and so forth, like in all of your home, takes a picture. And now you can do it with the phone. But in the old days, it was more of a commotion. But you have to take a picture. She's proud of it. So I want the children to see, wow, my mom's proud. I'm not handy at all. But I build my own sukkah anyway. So it's not, so kids see that I'm schlepping and dragging hammers and this and that, to put the sukkah together. They get a picture that this is something that's important to the father, right? This is important to the mother to set a beautiful table. That's what the child goes to. The mothers are going, oh, I hate these 3-day yontas. Impossible. Too much cooking. Okay, it's okay sometimes for people to let off a little bit of steam, but in front of the children, be very, very careful, because what is the impression? You know, if you have a person who sits and learns all day in a kollel, right, then he comes home, oh, he was just terrible. You know, that's the message the kid gets. You can have another person who works all day, right, who works, you know, comes home at 8:30 and goes out at 9:15 for a shiur. And if I can't wait to get to that shiur, who has a better influence on the kid? Right, it's a person who's telling you, here's what I value. This is what I'm part of. This is what I stand for. This is my value system. So that's what it means. Ish l'fima ho, that's Rabbeinu Yonah, like Ibn Ezra says. Also, parents have to be consistent. The home has to be a place of a consistent message. The Gemara says again in Sukkah, I don't know why all these Gemara's in Sukkah, but it is. This is Sukkah, Mem Vav Med Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Bzeira, lo lema inish liyanuka di hibna l'chamidi v'lo yoyvla. Don't tell a kid that I'm going to give you something and not give it to him. Mishum da'asalig mur shikra, shenemar lindu l'shon dvar sheker. Because the kid learns to lie. The kid sees the parent, oh, don't you do this, I'll give you a lollipop. And then never gave him the lollipop. So the kid said, I guess it's okay to lie sometimes. I remember reading years ago in Mad Magazine. I don't know if they still publish Mad Magazine. There used to be a magazine called, one of the clever sections used to be The Lighter Side Of. So in The Lighter Side Of, the father comes home and he sees his daughter doing math homework with a very fancy slide rule. I don't think it was slide rules anymore either. But that's a very fancy gadget. And she said, and the father asked the daughter, where'd you get that from? She goes, oh, I stole it from the school. The father said, what kind of child am I raising? You steal from the school? That's terrible. How I educate you? Why don't you tell me new one? I would have brought you home or home from the office. So what's the message to the kid, right? And I know some of us are probably guilty of this. And when I first thought about this many, many years ago, I was always makbid. You know, sometimes imagine the child got caught in school lying or whatever. So you give him a whole drasha, midvar sheker tircha, and it's very important to tell the truth. You always have to tell the truth. Then while you're talking, the older child pops in, dad, phone call, go tell him I'm not home. Well, there went your whole Muzzah Shmuz, right out the window. Right? Because then the kid sees it is, I say, tell him I'm not available. That's why I prepare myself to say, no, I'm not available. Okay, so that's the truth. But, you know, you have to be very careful. That's this Gemara, because children pick up, and children say, well, I guess, okay, it is sometimes okay to lie. So the Gemara says, don't promise. The Rambam brings this lahalach, and hukka shvuz, perak yud beis, halacha ches. 37. Tzarech li zar biktanim harbe, v'lilmod lashonim divrei emes, below shvud, not to say, I swear all the time. Some people swear. I swear I'll be in 2 minutes. We say all the time, people, I swear to God, I swear to God. You know, sometimes that's a child learns, and that's how he talks, and you can be violated really soon. Another interesting Gemara in Sukkah, also in Sukkah, Daf Nun Vav Med Beis, very, very end of the Masechta. The Gemara speaks about a certain family that was of Kohanim that were penalized, not the details right now, because something that happened because of one of their daughters. And she complained. Miriam Bas Bilga was her name, in source number 38. This Miriam Bas Bilga complained about how terrible God is to the Jewish people and so on, and it's so expensive to bring all these sacrifices, and there's no money, and so she cursed, so to speak, cursed out on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Gemara asks, so because this one young lady behaved this way, so therefore the whole family was punished, so to speak. They weren't, something in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever the details are at the end of Sukkah. Why should the whole family be punished? So the Gemara says, because Mishum, the Gemara Kasha 38, Mishum Bar say, Kansin Leila Didei, because the daughter misbehaved, so the parents and so on, the family's punished. Gemara says, Amar Abaya, in, yes, Kid Amar Inshi, Shusa Dinuka Beshuka, Odavu Odemi, you hear a kid speaking on the street? Odds are he picked that up either from his father or from his mother. Right? You hear what a kid said, they probably picked it up from their parents. Children pick up from their parents. First, they see inconsistencies. And again, if they see that children are always, that the parents are always complaining, this is no good, that's no good. So that's how they're going to grow up. I said this many times in my own shul and other occasions also. My opinion, a from home, an observant home, has to be the happiest home possible. You want the kids to grow up, that we're happy, we're excited about Torah mitzvahs, we're yontifs coming up, oh, so happy, and that we want kids to be happy about it. If the kids see that the parents can't stand what they're doing, or it's just a pain in the neck, like, oh, I got to go to Minyan, and this kind of stuff, so that the kids are going to grow up, they're not going to want to do it. And I say, especially today, when there's so many distractions and attractive distractions for children, attractive things, you know, for kids growing up. It's very, very difficult as it is. Just the last group of sources, in source number 39, we all know the story in Parshas Vayeshev, in Bereishis Perek Lamed Tes, in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. So, you know, the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce Yosef, and it appears that Yosef was about to give in to the temptation. He couldn't hold back anymore. He was seduced by her. He was about to give in to the temptation. Suddenly, at the last minute, you know, he ran out. So the Gemara says in Sota, what happened? She arranged it that everyone was out of the house because it was some sort of a holiday, and she pretended she was sick, and just Yosef was there, and then she tried to seduce him. And so what happened? So says the Gemara in 40, Sotolam from Bezba, Osa Shab, Basa Diukna Shal Aviv, and Yerosal Bechalom. What saved Yosef? He saw the face of his father. Okay, he saw his father, so I always wondered, what was the father doing like this? What was the father doing? Whatever. He saw Yaakov in his face. By the way, as a side point, in the Medrash Rabban, Parshat Vayechi, Parshat Tzadiches, Simon Chof, it says, Ikunon Shel Imo Rav. He saw his mother's face. Whatever, he saw his parents. So that's what saved him. So that's exactly, we have to be the kinds of parents that years later, that our children will see our faces and say, what did my father say? What did my mother say? That's what I want. My father would encourage this behavior or discourage. My mother would encourage this behavior or discourage. Yosef was saved at that moment, and it was a very important moment, according to the Medrash later on. The Kriyas Yamsum was in the Zichus of Yosef, and so on. It was a tremendous experience, a tremendous thing. It led to, you know, the Jewish people, you know, whatever, a major event in Jewish history. He had that Dmus Yukno. We have to be, we as parents, our home has to be the Dmus Yukno that our children look up to. Remember, oh, what was it like having Yontif and with my parents' house? What was it like Shabbos? What was it like doing mitzvahs? Would my father look favorably on this? Would my mother be happy if I did this? That's a Dmus Yukno that you have to have. The Torah says this elsewhere also. It's interesting. The Orach Chaim points out in Parshas Kedoshim, where you could perk your test. The first three psukim mentioned you have to be holy people and we have to fear our parents and observe the Shabbos and so on. So the Orach Chaim comments on the flow. And he says, he mentions the story of Eishes Potiphar, and he says that's the idea, right? Ish imo vov tiro, the best way to have, you know, to keep yourself a kadosh, kadoshim tiyu, is have reverence for your parents. Recall who your parents were, recall who your parents stood, what your parents stood for, and so on. It's not easy. We all know the pasuk in the Parshas Kisavo, it's in the Haggadah. Dvarim Perak Chav Vav Pasuk Vav Vanitzak Hashem Kevaseinu Vayishma Hashem Es Kolenu Vayares Onyenu Ves Amaleinu Ves Alachatzeinu. Amaleinu means our burden, our difficulties, our troubles. And the Medrash, it's the Medrash actually in last week said in Parshas Noso, but Midrash Rabbah Parshas Yud Pas Siman Dal, but it's incorporated into the Haggadah. Ves Amaleinu Elo Habanim. It's not easy to raise children. It's not simple, and we have to keep all of these things in mind. But the truth of the matter is, if we do, if we show the love for Torah mitzvahs ourselves, and the home is indeed this center for Torah and for transmission of values and so on, well, that's what a parent has to do. That's what a household has to be. And I'll just add to conclude, you know, the Gemara has in Brachas, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara has the text to the Birchas HaTorah. That we say every morning, not when you get an aliyah. I'm talking about the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, the Birchas HaShachar. What's the Brachas? The Gemara spells it out, more or less the text that we have. Yud Aleph and Beis and Brachas. My Mevarach. Amar Behudah Amar Shmuel. Asher Kiddushan. The Sof. Asher Asher Kiddushan. Asher Kiddushan. Asher Kiddushan. And following text. Harav Noah Shmuel. Kena. As Dibre Yisrael. Asher Fiyicha. Ofiyos Amcha Beis Yisrael. V'nei Anachna. V'tzetzoyinu. V'tzetzoy Amcha Beis Yisrael. Kulani Yodei Shmecha. V'os Kiddushan. Asher. We have a slightly different, but more or less the same idea. But the problem is that, wait a second, the Bracha seems to have two themes. Generally speaking, as a rule, we have a halacha that a bracha has one theme. We don't have two different themes in a bracha. Here, it seems to be a bracha for our children, right? V'niyah nachnu v'tzetzoenu kulanu, right? We want our children also to observe the Torah. So what's this beginning of Harevna? The Torah should be pleasant. Well, why does that begin the bracha? That seems to be a different theme. That's a good thing too. We should enjoy Torah. Well, that's make that a separate bracha. A bracha that we should enjoy. Harevna, the Torah should be sweet. The Torah should be pleasant. That's how we, that's okay. That's a bracha too. But why are the two in the same bracha? And the answer is, I think, simple. Because if the Torah is harevna, if the Torah is sweet, if mitzvahs and Torah and the Mesorah is sweet, then v'niyah nachna v'tzetzayinu, the children will see that this is what my parents love. This is, no guarantees. That's Amaleinu Halabonim. No guarantees. But that's, you know, that's what the Torah tells us. Or perhaps that's what the Brach is telling us. We want to see, it said, Nia Nachnu, it said, Tzayinu, it said, Samchu B'Yisro. All the subsequent generations should be Lomdei Sarasecha and Oske Mitzvahs and so on. So, Harevna, have a pleasant approach. Enjoy the learning. Enjoy, it's not just learning, enjoy Mitzvahs. And the children should see that kind of pleasure. That's how the home has to be that center. It's very important that the children should be in school and they have to learn, and we're all busy as parents and we're plan B, like Rabbi Shimon Gamla we discussed earlier. But that does not free us. They say that the Stipler Gaon, Zichrono Livracha, would learn with his son, Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky was the son of the Stipler. Chaim Kanievsky, who's now considered one of the Gedolei Hador, the stipler would learn with his son every single day. When Reb Chaim comes old, was already himself a Talmid Chacham. He didn't stop at the age of 10 or whatever. He would continue to learn for many, many years. That's the role model parents have to be. I've just finished with the Pasuk in Tillim, Psukim in Tillim, 48, Parakuf Yud Beis, Psukim Aleph and Beis. Haluka Ashrei Yish Yireas Hashem B'mitzvos of Chofetz Ma'od. If a person is Yirei Shamayim and desires mitzvahs very much, then Gibor Beretzia Zaro Dor Yisharim Mivorach. Then that's the best way to guarantee it. As much as there can be a guarantee that the next generation will be Dor Yisharim. Look at the last thing that I print on the back page from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Lebracha. I never got to read three, but you can read three. He says that we're not, the parents are not just a playmate. Parents have to be a role model. But in four, I'll just read it out loud and this I'll finish. To raise children properly, you need two things: good judgment, Seichel, and divine assistance, Siyata Deshmaya. However, even if you have Seichel and Siyata Deshmaya, your heart has to be in the right place. You have to be willing to give and willing to receive. Family life is all about giving and receiving reciprocally to children, to parents, to a spouse, in all areas of life. Superficially regarded, raising children is massive giving. But I tell you that it is massive receiving. But massive, the joy and nachas are beyond words. Very powerful statement, and I think that that really sums it up. If we want our children to be the kind of children we want them to be, then we have to be the kind of parents. And yes, our home, as important as yeshiva is, our home, the bayis netman b'Yisrael, has to be the center for the transmitting of the Mesorah. Thank you very much.